God is so good. Tell you what, look at this. I got goosebumps already just thinking about what I'm going to talk about today. It's so exciting. I got to tell you, God's been really good to me. Has he been good to y'all? He is a good God, isn't he? And you know what? He's just been showing me some things that has been rocking my little world. And Miss Connie tapped into it today as she just by the Holy Spirit spoke the inspirations of God. And it was awesome. So let me pray and then we'll start, okay? Father, I just thank you for the word of God. I just thank you, Father, that you saw fit to give us this Bible, Lord Jesus. That in black and white and even in some red, Lord Jesus, that Father, that you have spoken revelation to us. You have spoken your promises to us. You have spoken your truth to us, Lord. And that, Father, we can take these scriptures, these verses, and these Bibles, Father, and we can trust and rely on them and come to the fruit, Father, and bear much fruit, Father, of what lies in the pages of this book, Lord. And, Father, not only that, you gave us your Holy Spirit, that for those of us, Father, that have your Spirit not only in us, but upon us, Lord, a higher level of glory, Lord Jesus, that we can walk in things, Father, that the world can't even come close to, Father, in miracles, in healings, being anointed by God and walking in the power of your might. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. You get all the credit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I want to talk to you about faith today. Oh, I want to talk to you about faith today. Because you know what? We can get tired of hearing about faith because it's the same old, same old. But I want to let you know something. Faith is like really powerful stuff. I'm getting all lit up again just thinking about it. Thank you, Lord. God's going to do some stuff. What a great group of people. This is going to be awesome today. I'm telling you what. So how many of y'all have heard of faith? A few of you have, huh? A few of you, some of you haven't. Well, great. For those of you that haven't heard about faith or just won't raise your hand, we're going to talk about some faith today. So I'm going to use the Amplified Bible. Is that all right? Just for a couple of these scriptures, because it really shares some stuff. And then how many have heard of Woost or Weist? Okay, so he also he has amplified some of the New Testament. And the book of Hebrews is one of those books that he has amplified and written about. And he uses other men of God's that are highly esteemed men of God's opinions on what they say also, and then put it all together for us. And the Amplified Bible correlates very, very closely with what he is expounding on, okay? So I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible, and then we're going to pick it apart. Because I want to let you know something. I saw something. You ever see something that just lights your fire? It's like, I've read that a million times. And then boom, it's like, oh, are you kidding me? Why have I not thought about that? It's been there the whole time. I speak it out of my mouth when I read it, but why did the light never go on before? So we're going to hit a few of those today, if you don't mind. So if you got your Bibles out, you can read it in your version, but Julie's going to put it up in the Amplified. Okay, and we're going to start right in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So we all have heard that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? And we all know that faith means to believe God, to be really persuaded or convinced that what God said is true. Okay, that's believing God is faith. So it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, and the title deed. So let's back up again. So faith, when we actually believe God, that's the proof. That's the title deed. That's the thing. It's hypostasis, which means to stand under. It's the thing that we can ground. You know, when they build a foundation, they have to go down to the hard dirt, and then they build the foundation on top of the hard dirt. That's faith, the hard dirt that they put the foundation, pin it to. OK, Okay, so faith is that substructure that we can really trust and depend on, right? So in other words, when we believe God, when we actually believe God, that's the real proof that we're going to have what we're believing for. This has to sink in. Because when we get to the next level, you're going to be jumping and shouting. And feel free to do the Jericho March if you want to, okay? It's all right with me. Run around, shout and holler. This is excellent. So faith is when we actually believe God. When we actually believe God, that is the solid stuff that brings what we believe to pass. Isn't that exciting? When we believe God, the fact that we actually believe God is what brings that to pass. Not that he told you. It's that you believe him when he tells you. That's what is so important to God. That we have to actually believe him. And faith is being persuaded that what God said is true. Great. I love it when it's dead silent like that, you know? Well, not anybody stirring or doing it. They're just thinking, all right, go ahead. Tell me the good stuff now. Yeah, I've heard that before. All right, let's read it. Amplified. Ready? Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. So let me just say this. When you actually believe God, that is the title deed. That is the absolute substance that brings what you're believing God to pass. The things we hope for being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what you absolutely cannot prove is true. So when you believe God, what he says to you, and you believe him, that is what actually is real to you. When you believe him, that's what's real, what he just said to you. And when you believe what he just said to you is real, then you will see it manifest when there's absolutely no proof of it whatsoever, because it became real when he said it to you, not when you see it manifest in the natural physical realm. This is a big deal for Christians. This is a big deal for people that go to church. This is a big deal that say they're born again. That we have to believe when God tells us, that's when it's the real. That's the real. And when we believe that, we have it manifest out here. So we have to believe first, and then we'll see the results. The flesh says, I'll believe it's true or it is real when it happens in the flesh. That's when it's real. That's when it's true, is when I have it in the flesh. When my physical body manifests its healings. When the money is in my bank account. When my spouse treats me like I'm valuable. When my son or daughter gets born again and they change their lives. See, that's the flesh that can't please God. Seeing it that way cannot make God happy at all. That's not how God works. So therefore, he says in Hebrews 11:1, that when we believe God, when we have faith, that's when it's real. I know it's a good word, but it's hard to swallow. Because a lot of us don't believe it's real just because we read it in the Bible. You know, it reminds me of a story that I just always catches me off guard. It's in 2 Kings 6, and it's where one of the prophets, well, let me just turn there so I don't slaughter it since I brought it up. I'm notorious for that. 2 Kings 6, 6. And what it is this is where Elisha does the miracle of the floating axe head. You guys know that miracle? Some guy borrowed an axe, okay? And he's swinging around, chopping down trees, because they all got this big project they're going to do, and the axe head flew off into the creek or into the lake or into the pond, whatever it was. So he lost the axe head. Whoa! And he's freaking out. He goes, I borrowed this axe. Oh, I got to return it. Oh, my gosh, I borrowed this axe. And so Elisha comes up and goes, where'd you lose it at? He goes, over there. So he cut a piece of wood, cut a stick, and he took that stick and plopped it into the water where the axe head fell in. And the stick sank, and the axe head floated. He says, now go get it. Pick it up. And he did, and he got his axe head back. Okay? Wow! Listen, he fixed a tool. A tool. All right, he lost the hammer or something like that, or broke a saw blade. You know, that natural, simple thing of a floating axe head short circuits my brain. Because here I am thinking what I'm believing God for is so difficult and so tough. And why is it so hard to receive and all of that stuff? When Elisha goes, where'd you lose it at? Walked over, cut off a branch, tossed it in the water, and the axe head floated. What did Elisha know that I didn't know? What do any of these prophets that operate in this stuff know that I didn't know? And you know, the thing is that there's something about operating in the supernatural that the carnal mind can't lay hold of. It's not in there to search it out. It's not. It's like if you were looking for a ribeye steak in this room, no matter how long you searched, it's not in here. Right? Or a donkey. Well, no, I wouldn't want to say a donkey because some of us act like a burro occasionally, huh? So, but like the ribeye steak. You know, it's just not in this room. The same way the carnal mind can't even locate the stuff of God. It's not in there to tap into. So what did these guys know? What did these guys know? How do they operate in it? And look at this. In the book of Hebrews, the whole chapter 11 is people who operated by faith. And it's such a wide variety. I want to jump down to Sarah real quick. I'm going to jump around a little bit because I want to savor what I'm about to tell you. So I think it's in verse 11. Let me just look. Yes, it is. It's in verse 11. Okay, so it says, because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. This word here, power, that she received power to conceive a child. Dunamis, miraculous working power. That when she believed God, when he said, you're going to have a child, and she believed him, something happened that the power of God through that belief created the egg in her body. That her womb, she'd already gone through menopause. That's freaking me out. She's already went through menopause, but because God said, I'm going to give you another child, her body was able, through the power of God, to create another egg that she can get pregnant. Okay, so I might be limiting God in some of the things that I'm believing for. I might be dulling it down a bit. Because why does it seem hard sometimes to receive by faith the thing I'm asking God for? Why is that? And these guys are doing fantastic things. I'm glad you asked. Because I'm going to share it with you today. This is awesome. All right, so let's go back up to Hebrews 1. I want to look at verse 3. So I'm going to read right on down through into 3, okay? So starting in verse 1, in the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance. So believing God is your assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. She had no, I mean, believing God for Sarah, man, it wasn't revealed to her senses. She went through menopause already. That was a miracle right there. For by faith, verse 2, trust and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. Look at this next line. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. That lit my fire. When I read that sentence right there, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Holy, holy presence of God. Holy, holy presence of God. Something just shifted in my understanding when I read that. Maybe yours will too. So I always read that, okay, the stuff is made out of the invisible realm. Okay? This stuff is made out of the stuff from the invisible realm. Right? God spoke it into existence. Right? Okay, I've heard that a million times. You probably have too. Here's what I didn't get. We have the power to control that stuff that makes what we see. Let me go over here. I didn't get the reaction I was expecting on that side of the room. We have the power, being a human man or woman, a son of daughter or God, by believing God, we have the stuff to manipulate and use the raw material in the invisible realm that manifests stuff in this realm. Holy Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, light just hit my heart. That means that we're not learning how to get God to do something, twisting his arm, being good enough for him, rearranging our life so please, that's not. What we're doing is understanding that when we believe God, it takes the invisible realm, the material, the substance that doesn't come to light. You can't see it with your eyes. When we believe God, that substance of the invisible realm creates the thing we're believing God for. Let me say it some more. when we believe God, it creates, it causes to pass. It's like an ability, a skill, a thing that you can do. When your heart believes God, that it's real, that makes the invisible substance that God has, that we just can't see it in this realm. The carnal mind can't see it, but it's very real stuff. We just can't see it. That invisible matter, that stuff that makes things, whoosh, makes what you just believed God for. Not always does it create from the invisible to the visible, like as if it just goes, poof. Not always like that. Sometimes it is moving things on the earth. Like say I'm believing God for a 2020 Dodge Ram trunk, gray, with light gray interior. You know, just something random like that. God's not going to, in the invisible realm, or by my substance, by me believing, is not going to just poof, a Dodge Ram right there in front of me. Not necessarily. Okay? God's really subtle. It's the coolest thing. He will take one that already exists and move things around so that it shows up right here. By my faith, by my believing I have it. Because God said it, I believe it. You know what that convicts me of? Do I really believe God when I read stuff in the Bible? Do I believe that came from God? Do I believe that I can trust it and rely on it? Or will I believe it when I can see it and feel it? When I can see it and feel it is not what causes the invisible substance to manifest what you're believing God for. If you're looking in the realm of the supernatural, you will see it. But if you're not looking in the realm of the supernatural, you won't. And then you'll wonder, then I will wonder, why doesn't it work for me? Why isn't God giving me what I'm believing for? Why, when they pray for me, do I not see the results? You know, you'll wonder, God, do I got to do something different? What do I got to do? Hello, help me. What's wrong with me? And you know, the thing is, let's just read on a little bit more. So I want to read verse 3 again because I just love what it said. By faith we understand. So in other words, by believing what God said, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for the intended purpose by the word of God. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Corinthians says the same thing, doesn't it? So, verse 4, prompted, actuated by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and in right standing with God. So being righteous in right standing with God was a character thing that he had. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gift. And though he died, yet though the incident, he is still speaking. Through the incident, he is still speaking. Verse 5. Faith. Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death. And he was not found because God had translated him. Stop. Somebody hung out with God and had such a great relationship with God that God just says, oh, just come hang out with me in heaven now. You know, you hang out with me so much, for you it's going to be no big deal to just come straight here. You don't got to die. You can just come straight here because you're hanging out with me so much that you're so like-minded with me. Here, just come on up. okay, that's a little bit outside of the box for a carnal mind, right? So I'm locating myself. Am I in my carnal mind as I'm trying to get something to happen and believe God? Or am I living by the words of God himself? Going on. Where did I live? Let me just start from the beginning. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven, so that he did not have a glimpse of death, and he was not found, because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony, still on record, that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God. Verse 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without believing God, it's impossible to please God. You have to be a person that believes God to please God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him and to be satisfactory to him. For whoever, well, you know, just reading that right there, that could be a foothold for the devil to give somebody condemnation. I just want to let you know, that just encourages me more to get to know God even better. Get to know God even better. David had a heart after God. It was his testimony that David was loyal to God. Even though David made mistakes and blew it, he was quick to repent and went straight back into the face of God, into the heart of God. And his whole focus was to please God and to be with God, right? And so that's this here, is to be satisfactory in the sight of God, is to seek God out himself, to really get to know God, so that when he talks to you, you'll believe him. Boy, that kind of sounds like Romans 10:17, doesn't it? You got that up there, Julie? We'll come back to this. Romans 10:17. If not, I'll look it up right here. You got it? Romans 10:17, just double click and boom, there it is. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people say, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Some of us need to hear it more than once. So faith comes by us hearing God, right? Whether we read it in the Bible or whether we hear it audibly. Back to Hebrews. Verse 6. I'm going to go to, for whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. We have to believe that God will give you what you're asking for. Oh yeah, love that silence. Love that silence. To believe God that he's going to give you what you're asking for. If you don't believe God when he talks to you, you can't please him. Because you got to believe that God exists, is real, active, and that he's going to give you what you're asking for. I know, yeah. The gears are turning slow. There's a few rusty spots. We're getting there. Oil can. Get the gears rolling here. Verse 7. Prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which has yet, well, how did I say? Events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and came and became an heir and a possessor of righteousness. That relation of being right into which God puts the person who has faith. Wow! You know, some say it took 100 years for him to build that boat. Because God told him to. And he believed God, and he delivered his entire family. Because he believed God, that made him righteous. So believing God makes you the righteousness of God. That means that you have favor in the sight of God, that you please him. You believe him, that makes you like him, which makes him very happy. Let me just say this. You're the same way. You're the exact same way as God is. You like people who believe you when you tell them something. You find favor. They find favor in you because they click with you, because they're like you. And when you find somebody that's like you, your good attributes, because we hate the people that are like us in our bad attributes. Let's just say your good attributes. Okay. All of a sudden, it's like, they're the greatest person in the world. Oh, they're so easy to talk to. They get me. You know? That's the same way God is. When we believe him, when he talks to us, when we seek him first, then that is valuable to him. So let's look at a few things. How about over in Proverbs 29:18? We can go in the regular Bible. Proverbs 29:18. Some of you might have this memorized. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm so excited. We take what is not seen and create what is seen. By faith, when we believe God, it takes the substance of the invisible realm and it creates the very thing we're believing for. So that means that if I don't actually believe, then maybe I'm not going to have what I say I'm believing God for. Because I think it in my mind, I say it because the Bible says it, but I don't really believe that it's going to happen in the next moment or so. That's a little troubling spot right there. That's a little difficult terrain right there. That's why David was so honorable, because he kept going back to God, kept getting in the presence of God, kept repenting, and kept moving forward, kept destroying God's enemies. You know, David, just on a little side note, do you know that he killed Goliath? The giant, you guys know that, right? Chopped off his head. It was a big deal. The skull was in Golgotha. You know that? It was like a big part of the Old Testament Bible. Anyway, Goliath was a giant from Gath. He had four brothers that were giants too. So you know what David did? He sought out the entire family and killed them all. Not just Goliath. Because you know what? If you don't rub out the whole clan, they'll come after you. They'll come get you. You killed my brother. How many of you want four giants chasing you down? It's in Samuel and in Chronicles. I'll give you an exact verse. Would you like an exact verse? All right, I'll give you an exact verse. 2 Samuel 21:22. Do you got that up there? These four, talking about giants, were born to the giant Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. That is, in fact, you know what? Right after this happened, David wrote a song and sang a song. Let's look at that. Since you got me sidetracked onto that, we'll just go with that for a second. So go with me over to 2 Samuel 22, verse 25 through 27. I want to show you something that David understood. This is a song. We're right in the middle of a song. Therefore, The song started with David saying how great God was and how he manifests in the earth and how you need to read it. It's just a great song. So here it goes. And here's what you got to get about God. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in my eyes. The way I see myself, according to my righteousness, the way I see myself, right? No, my cleanness in his eyes. Are you clean? Are you righteous by Jesus and by the blood of Jesus? Oh yeah, so that's how God sees you. Verse 26, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. That means that where I'm coming from is the way God's going to reveal himself to me. From where I'm coming from. Oh, how interesting is that? If I'm pure, I believe God that I'm that way, that's how he's going to manifest to me as pure. I'm merciful, he's going to manifest as merciful. If I believe that the grace and favor of God has been given to me, then God will be gracious and show me favor. That's how he'll manifest around me. If I believe he's hard, I won't receive stuff from him. If I believe he's distant, I won't receive stuff from him because he'll be distant to me. That's a big deal. I have to get in the presence of God and know his goodness, that he desires to give you what you want, what you're believing him for. If he told you it's yours, by his stripes you were healed. If you don't believe that, your body will not manifest healing. Because he says that you not only believe God exists, but he actually is a rewarder of those of us that actually diligently seek him out. David sought him out and saw victory over all of his enemies, all of them, because he put God first and he was going after God. And because when he was going after God, when God spoke to him, it manifested. Go with me to John chapter 5, New Direction. Jesus. We'll look at Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 5. Jesus is good, isn't he? Verse 19. We'll read 19 and 20, okay? So it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. And whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. So the more that we are in the presence of God and walking in the favor of God through relationship, the more he'll show us. And the more that we see in the spiritual realm that's available, we'll be able to do it. So when God tells us by his stripes we were healed, if we believe him, that's the substance that causes the invisible realm of the things you can't see with your eyes, heal your body. Manifest a healing in your body. Regenerate an organ in your body. Rebuild something in your body. Cleanse the blood in your body. That invisible stuff that makes the material world is activated in your body and it heals you. We call it the anointing. Okay? So what happens is when we believe him, that invisible substance manifests it. Oh, what is it? Star Wars stuff. The Star Wars guys have a thing, you know. Well, I'm gonna murder this. You Star Wars people don't write the church. It's chlormidians or something like that. Any of you guys watch Star Wars? All right, never mind. Never mind. But anyway, these things were like invisible little stuff that the whole universe is created by them. Okay? They got that out of the Bible. I want to let you know. They got that out of that verse 3, at the end of verse 3, just like I got it today. It was like, what? The invisible stuff. When I believe God, it activates the invisible stuff that creates the visible. It's not God going, it's my belief that activates the invisible stuff, that creates the visible stuff. Whatever I really actually believe, whatever it is what manifests in my life around me. I'm going to get really weird on you, okay? Because this is not happening, so you don't have to worry about it. If I think that I'm irresistible to women, and I walk around as if I'm irresistible to women, which I don't, as you know, then guess what? I'll actually be attractive to women. If I believe that I'm wealthy and that good things and money always comes my way, that I'm the lucky guy in the room, if somebody's going to get the, what are those things called? Scratch-offs. If anybody's going to get the good one, it's going to be me. I remember playing bingo once with my mom. I was a little tiny kid. And I remember I was taken to some bingo place, you know. And they had these little, like, scratch-offs. You kind of peel them open and it'd like be three cherries or something like that. And you'll win a little stuff. And my brother was so jealous because every time I got it, boom, it was a winner. No, I don't want that one. I want this one. Boom, it's a winner. It's like, what is it? I said, I don't know. I just believe it's supposed to be mine. And it was. Well, I want to let you know, arrogantly, I tried to duplicate that and it didn't work. Because I just was playing at it instead of just an innocent, real belief. A non-striving, non-constructed belief. It's just the belief that was in me. Okay? Whatever my real belief is, whatever it is, that's how the invisible substance that creates the visible realm is going to create around me. If I think that something bad is happening in my life, bad doctor's report, boom, boom, boom. This, guess what? The invisible realm, sickness, more of it. It works for the good and the bad. To the merciful, he'll show himself to the mercy. To the pure, he'll be pure. However you actually really believe, I'm being redundant, is what makes that invisible realm create in this natural realm. Because this natural realm in verse 3 of Hebrews is created by the things that you and I can't tangibly see. That's why it really pleases God when he speaks to us and we run with that as the absolute truth. Sarah was ancient. I mean, when she combed her hair, dust fell out. She was old. But she believed God, and because she believed God, the invisible realm put an egg inside of her. An angel spoke to Mary. Guess what? She said, so be it unto me. And guess what? Holy Spirit, baby. Elisha, show me where it fell into the water. cut a little stick. We'll do the law of reciprocation. In other words, we're going to replace what this stick does with what the axe head does. We'll throw the stick in, it'll sink, and the axe head will take the property of the stick, and it'll float. Because that was no big deal for Elisha. He understood the law of reciprocation. So he was able to believe for that. How much do you allow yourself to operate outside of the parameters of the natural world and believe God, who knows no boundaries, who lives outside of the created realm, where you sit on his throne with him, that you have his name written on you, that he is the author and the finisher of your faith, that yours and my salvation came by him. We are called his sons and his daughters to be the expressed image of God also. Can we let ourselves be that person and believe God? Some of us need to do what chapter 12 says. After he goes through the hall of faith in Hebrews and goes through the entire chapter of 11, saying, by faith, 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 by faith. And they cover just about everything. They put out fires by faith. No. And the fires were quenched. They raised their dead by faith. No, you're not dying. Get up. That means they were tapped into, tied into, understood the realm of God over the natural realm. And these people in the halls of faith are such a great cloud of witnesses, even though there's more people than just them. I believe Catherine Kuhlman will be in the cloud of witnesses. I believe there's a lot of people, Lester Summerall will be in the great cloud of witnesses, I believe. I believe that a lot of people, that Smith Wigglesworth, I believe, will be in the hall of faith. He will be there as we walk through heaven. All these great men and women of faith will cheer us on because we believed God over what our senses told us was real fact. We believed that what God said was real fact, contrary to whatever is manifesting in this natural earth. Look at the heart of these people. I'm just going to back up 1 second, Julie. So let me read 12 and then I'll back up because you're there. So I don't have it here. I'll read yours. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, a necessary weight, and that sin which so easily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. Let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Do you have that in the New King James, those two verses? Let's read those in the New King James. That's a little bit wordy. So, in the New King James, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So, some of you may not have any sin at all, but there could be some burdens, some weights, some things that you believe that hem you in some areas. Right? And let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance our own personal race that is set before us. What is the race that you're running? What is it that you personally, not you and me, you only, are personally accountable to God for? What did he call you only to? That's your race. So we have to run our race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, so as he was running his race to die on the cross, endured the cross, despising the shame, taking lightly what everybody else thought of him. and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It goes on to talk about that we have not yet resisted to the shedding of our own blood. So don't grow weary. Don't get, when you're believing God and you're standing in faith, you need to get rid of the things that are hemming you in. If we went into Mark 11, it would be the doubt, right? Whatsoever thing you say, believe it in your heart, you'll have it. As long as you don't doubt when you're doing it, that's me slaughtering it, right? It even says in Proverbs, I was going to go to Proverbs 29:18. You got it up there? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, in the areas that you can't see in the spirit what God's doing, you do not hem yourself in and make yourself obey. You'll just do whatever. You'll just go with the flow because you don't have a vision. You don't have a dream, not a dream like in a fantasy, but like that God has shown you, a revelation or a vision. And I want to let you know, seeing, this is the last thing I'm going to teach you right now. Seeing is not just through your eyeballs. Seeing is seeing through your mind. Seeing is seeing through your intuition. Seeing is seeing through your unction or knowing. Seeing is you just perceive something. Okay? I can perceive demonic activity without seeing demons. And I absolutely know they're in the room and they're harassing people. And I can't physically see them with my eyes. But my perceiver can perceive them. That's seeing. Okay? It can be a lot, it can be feeling it through your sensory realm that's been trained in the spirit. It can be your knower. You just know because you know because you know. Okay? So it doesn't have to be through your literal eyeballs when you see God doing something. Okay? I want to take the liberty off of that you've got to see, physically see God do something, and then you can do the same thing he did. It's the invisible realm, you guys. We're seeing into the invisible. We're knowing what's happening in that realm. How exciting is this? Okay, I've really tore up this ground good. It's all rototilled up. It's all disturbed. It's all, now we just got to pick out the rocks and the weeds and the sticks, right? Because I just made a mess out of the yard. There's no doubt about that. But now let's take a look at what you believe. Let's really take a look. I hope that you see that what you're believing God for is not dependent on God moving sovereignly with you not in agreement with him, with you not initiating through believing. So, in other words, whatever you're believing God for, you have to actually believe that you have it. It's like, if I went to one of you and I hung out with you and I got to know you like David did God, and like God says that if you diligently seek him, we really diligently get to know somebody, and they told us that they would pay one of our bills or do something for us because we are with them all the time and it's important for us to know them really well, we would be able to believe them that they're going to do that thing for us, right? We hang out with them all the time. We kind of get to know the person and their character and the way they are. That's what God says. That's exactly what he says. If you will hang out with me and get to know me, then you know that I'm going to give you whatever you want. That's really important. A lot of us aren't really chasing down God like David did and so many others. All these prophets, they did some strange stuff to get clarity from God. But they got it. They got it. So if you need something from God, it's as simple as believe. That's how simple it is. Are you with me? Did I give you something to think about? I'm so excited. Do you know that when I believe God, it activates the stuff in the invisible realm to bring to pass the very thing that I actually believe? Not that I tell you that I believe. It's what I actually believe in here. And if I believe something that's not in alignment with what I'm believing God for, it's on me to root it out and to get rid of it. Because God is going to manifest exactly the way I think. Wow. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Lord, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are so good to us, that if we'll just believe you, we can have whatsoever thing we say. That if our faith is to you, anything we say will come to pass. As long as we don't doubt in our own hearts, Lord, that Father, I just ask that you will cause, motivate, nudge along anyone that can hear this teaching, Lord, that you become a greater priority in their heart and their mind. That our treasure be you, Lord. That we, as they said in Hebrews 11, were sojourners and pilgrims on the earth. This wasn't their main home. They were just staying here until they can be with you for all eternity. Father, let us have this mindset that we are temporary here. It's just temporary. This is where we learn to believe you and what you say, Lord. Father, let each one, Father, let their faith be tested, that they can learn to see and have patience that you absolutely fulfill your word, Lord. And Father, whatever people are believing for in this room or that can hear my voice, Father, I know that you are so good that you will unlock anything that is binding them from being able to receive this truth and to walk in it, Lord. So Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory, and I say that yes and amen is ours by the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.